we present The Bridge by John Leslie, with Alan Wheatley, Monica Gray, and Andrew Sachs. The Bridge.
There's a car coming up the drive, Miss Anne. Do you think it can be your cousin? I think it might be Mrs. Wood. Yes, it is. Hello, Frank.
Hello, Anne, dear.
Good morning, sir. I'll give you a hand with your bag.
Oh, thanks.
Father. Frank's here.
Thank you.
That's all right, Mr. Kent. I'll take that one as well.
Oh, no, that's too heavy. I'd like a hand with these oddments, sir.
One thing to be said for our cousin. He travels in style.
Good Lord, he's brought a sunray lamp.
Oh, come on, useless. Lend a hand here.
Dear Frank, never at a loss for the mot juste.
All right, we're not all built like greyhounds, you know.
Oh, Lord, I didn't mean you, Cousin Rodney. I'd never speak like that to Harley Street's number one brain specialist. I meant Glamour Puss here.
I'll take these up to your room, sir.
Oh, thank you, Mrs. Wood. You sure it's not too heavy?
Oh, gracious, no, sir.
Oh, damn, this easel's wedged. This boot simply isn't big enough.
The makers obviously didn't realize you meant to take half the studio with you when you went on a painting holiday in the country.
Look, I'll take that case, and then you can see what you're doing. That's it. It's nice to see you, Frank.
Yes, same here. Oh, thanks for letting me come, by the way. Save my bacon.
Landlord on your trail again?
Yes.
What's he on about this time?
Oh, he's been raising Cain about what he calls wild parties.
Well, a couple of weeks quiet will give him a chance to simmer down.
It could be. Now, is that everything?
It jolly well ought to be. Oh, good grief. What have you got in this one? Bricks?
No, paints. And don't drop it. There's a bottle in it.
I might have known.
Terps.
Come along then, Frank. We'll show you to your room. Well, it's quite a fair-sized room, I think.
Oh, it's marvellous. You do your guests proud, Cousin Rodney.
Well, I hope you'll be comfortable.
Oh, don't worry, I shall be. Oh, thanks for bringing that up, Mrs. Wood.
That's all right, sir. I'll help you sort out and put away. Oh, Father, do stop standing there like a loaded pack horse and put those things down.
Great Scott, that reminds me. I had the oddest experience coming over that little bridge about 2 miles up the road, just after you passed the village.
Oh, you mean Western?
Yeah, I suppose I do. Anyway, it's not the kind of bridge to rush across, so I was taking it easily. Well, I could have sworn I heard the sound of horses' hooves positively galloping up the road.
Oh, really?
Well, I thought to myself, a runaway. Pulled up short and looked all round for it. But I couldn't see anything like a horse anywhere. And then, just as the sound got really loud and seemed quite near, it stopped. Just like that, as if somebody had switched it off.
Good Lord. Whatever's the matter, Mrs. Wood?
Well, I always thought it was a yarn got up by the locals. I never dreamed there could be anything in it.
Then you've heard about this galloping horse before?
Indeed I have, sir, but I never dreamed as there was any truth in it.
What have you heard about it?
Well, miss, it's such a silly tale that if I hadn't heard what Mr. Kent just told us, I'd never have believed it.
Don't keep us in suspense, Mrs. Wood. What is the story?
They say if you want to know whether the one you love is to be truly yours, you must go to the end of the bridge farthest from the village and think of them. If you only hear the sound of the water running under the bridge, that's all right. They are really meant for you. But if they aren't, you hear the horsemen galloping towards you.
And then what happens?
That's all, miss. Except that he's supposed to bring with him a dreadful feeling of despair.
Oh, well, I suppose you would feel despairful if you found the one you had your eye on wasn't meant for you after all.
And who were you thinking of when you were crossing the bridge?
That is my secret.
And did you feel despairing? Your shirts are in the second drawer.
Oh, thanks. Well, I may have felt a bit gloomy, but I should have put that down to the hangover. Still, there must be something about that spot, because I certainly heard the authentic noise. I wonder what it could be.
Oh, it's very likely some echo effect caused by water splashing under the bridge. According to Mrs. Wood, you're supposed to stand at one particular end of it, so that must be what it sounds largest.
Yes, I expect you're right, although...
We'll put this lot in the wardrobe, Mrs. Wood.
Oh, yes.
Do you believe in ghosts, Frank?
Well, I'm not sure. I'm quite certain, though, that odd things do happen that can't be accounted for in the ordinary way. Don't you agree, Cousin Rodney?
Yes, I do. Like you, I should hesitate to say whether they're caused by ghosts or some natural force which we don't understand. But I always think one should go for the simple explanation first. 9 times out of 10, it's the right one.
That's true enough, although the 10th time it isn't. Well, we seem to have cleared everything away.
Yes, we do, don't we? Did you hear that, Mrs. Wood?
I'm sorry. You're both much too efficient for me. Thanks for the putting away and for the story, Mrs. Wood.
Not at all, sir. Though I don't doubt it's all a lot of nonsense. Now, if you'll excuse me, I must go and see to the lunch.
Oh, lunch. Beautiful word. I promise I won't be late, Mrs. Wood.
Well, I'll see you downstairs, then.
Yeah, okay. It's good to see you again, Anne.
Well, it's nice to see you.
Have you thought any more about it?
Any more about what?
Oh, you know what I mean. Have you thought any more about marrying me? I said I'd leave you alone to give you a chance to think about it. Well, it's nearly 2 months now.
Frank, I told you then I couldn't possibly see how it would work out. And I still don't. We're not compatible. You're happy-go-lucky, and I'm all for creature comforts and security.
Oh, comfort and security. Ye gods, girl, don't you see any more to life than that? I suppose you'd rather marry a stuffed shirt like Stuart McAlpin. Die of boredom.
Stuart? Why bring him into it?
Well, he's a company director. He's wealthy. He's mad about you. And you see him quite a lot in town. Oh, why? I can't imagine.
Well, what if I do? Is that anybody's business but mine? And have you been following me about or something?
No, of course not. It's just that people see you and they mention it.
I'll bet they do. And I still can't see where he fits into this discussion.
Oh, and I'm sorry. Look, you don't actively dislike me, do you?
What an idea. Oh, of course I don't. I'm very fond of you. Come on, let's go and find Father.
All right. But I notice you haven't given me a definite no, so I'm not giving up.
Come on, he'll want to show you the house. By the time he's done that, it'll be time for lunch.
That was a very nice apple pie. Thank you, Mrs. Wood.
Thank you, sir. Will you all be taking coffee?
Yes, please. Yes, please, sir. Yes. Oh, Mrs. Wood, I've been thinking about your story of the bridge. Has anyone ever seen anything?
Well, there's those that say they have, but I never set much store to them myself. Given a skinful on a pay night, they'd be fit to see anything. What do they say, anyhow? They say they've seen a horse ridden by a man in black wearing a big cape and one of those hats like a highwayman's.
Well, I suppose that's the logical development. It's the kind of mysterious figure that springs easily to mind.
Yes, could be.
I'll leave you to pour the coffee, Miss Anne. Yes, of course. You want to go and get on. Thank you, Mrs. Wood. Thank you, Miss.
I don't think you're quite satisfied with my explanation, are you, Frank?
Which do you mean? About the surge of the river causing the galloping horse sound, or the horseman himself?
Both.
Well, I expect you've come pretty near to it. Only, you haven't heard those hoofbeats. I have.
Are you going to do some psychic research?
No, not particularly. But that bridge gives me a point to start work. Well, you know my line. I don't try to paint what I see, but what I feel about it. If I'm trying to express something about the bridge, and the horseman gallops up with his feelings of gloom and despair, well, that'll be fine. I can add them in, too.
Oh, I don't think I should like a picture of despair. And how on earth would you paint it, anyway?
Oh, I'd have no idea until I started on it. Even then, I wouldn't be sure. I expect Cousin Rodney thinks I begin to qualify as a patient.
Of course I don't. Artists have to explore new fields, even if the layman might think them odd.
Ah, from you, that's reassuring. How are things in Harley Street?
Excellent, thank you. But like yourself, at the moment, I'm in a retreat. As it's the holiday season, I'm spending the next 2 or 3 weeks here. I hope to make some headway with a composition I have in mind.
What sort of composition?
Symphony, I hope.
You are a remarkable chap. A top-notch brain specialist. You're not content with that. You have to be a successful composer as well.
Ah, but that's just the point, Frank. Up to now, I haven't been successful at it. I've written several orchestral works, but they misfire somehow. But I'll do it, yes.
Of course you will. It's only a question of time.
Well, it beats me how you do it at all. The science of music's a complete mystery to me. I don't see how one could even start to learn it.
Well, we can't all be cast in the same mold. I couldn't imagine myself wielding a brush.
That's a point. Well, still early. I think I'll pop out and see what the neighborhood has to offer to a painter.
When will you be back?
I'll try and make it for tea, if that's all right.
Yes, yes, of course.
It's gone 5, miss. Shall I serve tea yet? Yes, Mrs. Wood. I don't think we'll wait any longer for Mr. Kent. He's been out for over 2 hours. But it's quite possible he'll stay out till dinner time. He's gone prospecting for places to paint. Is he a landscape painter, miss? Not exactly. I don't quite know what you call his kind of painting. He doesn't paint the things or places. He tries to paint the atmosphere or feeling there is about them.
Oh, I know the kind of thing you mean, miss. These sort of paintings that look as if they might be something, only they aren't, if you know what I mean.
Mm.
Well, I dare say it's all very clever. But myself, I like a picture that is a picture. Still, I must say, all this highbrow stuff is beyond me. There's your father now. Plays something beautiful, he does. But he never seems to play anything catchy. Nothing like a tune you could whistle. Meaning no disrespect, of course.
Of course not. I like catchy tunes myself. But it seems you can't use them when you're writing symphonies.
Oh.
Well, we might as well start tea, Mrs. Wood.
Very good, miss. I'll take the trolley in the garden room.
Thank you. Tea, Father.
Oh, good. I'm sorry I'm late.
Come along, Frank. Mrs. Wood will go berserk if we don't get tea over. She's been hovering for the last 3/4 of an hour.
Oh, I'm sorry. You shouldn't have waited for me. You know what I am.
Now, we do.
Did you have any luck?
Well, it was all very odd.
Sit down here, and then you'll be nice and handy for passing things. What was odd?
Well, this bridge business.
Oh, you went there.
I was intrigued by the story Mrs. Wood told us, particularly in the light of what I heard for myself this morning.
Tea, Frank.
Oh, thanks.
And pass the sandwiches.
Yeah.
Did you hear anything when you went there just now?
No, if you mean hoofbeats, I just don't know. There did seem to be a sort of echo of them once or twice, but very faint and far away. Not a bit like they were this morning.
What conclusion did you come to about them?
I didn't. Of course, the river is noisy at that spot. But even so, I would have said they had nothing to do with it. It's difficult to say, as they were so faint this time. I wonder why that was.
Perhaps you weren't thinking of the loved one.
Eh? Oh. Yes, maybe you've got a point there. If it's a genuine spook, perhaps I wasn't keeping to the rules of the game. I could have had my mind more on the noises he makes than providing him with a reason for making them. On the other hand, maybe he's changing his mind.
Hmm.
Anyway, that wasn't really the odd part of this afternoon. I was listening to the sound of the river when it seemed as if another sound began to rise out of it. And yet at the same time... Oh dear, it is difficult to explain. It was as though it was sounding in my head, too.
What kind of sound?
Music.
Music?
Well, what sort of music?
For all the world, like a symphony orchestra. But it wasn't the way I usually hear music in my mind. I mean, if I recall a tune, I recall a tune, and that's it. But this sort of full-blast stereo stuff with every instrument sounding loud and clear... Oh, that's a new one on me.
It seemed to rise simultaneously in your mind and from the sound of the river.
No, it was much more than that. And that's what makes it so hard to explain. It wasn't just a matter of hearing it. I seemed to be involved with it somehow. I don't know if that makes sense.
Tell me, what did this music sound like? Was it familiar?
No, I didn't recognize it as anything I've ever heard. I can't remember how it went either, but then I'm no musician. And my taste doesn't really go beyond the charts. What do you make of it?
You ever had such a thing happen before?
No.
Well, in the light of just the one happening, I wouldn't like to say. Oddly enough, though, it sounds like the experience spoken of by quite a number of composers. Beethoven, for instance.
All right, I'll believe you. But it wouldn't apply in my case, and I wouldn't want it to either.
You know, I'm beginning to be quite fascinated by this bridge.
Well, it all seems fairly absurd now we're chatting about it over teacups. Yes, I will have another cup, please. But on the spot, it was distinctly odd.
Take me with you next time, please. I'd be thrilled if I could hear something creepy. And I promise you I wouldn't get in your way when you wanted to paint.
Come by all means. You'll probably be able to put your finger on a normal everyday cause for hoofbeats, music and all.
I believe you'd be disappointed if I did.
Yeah, you may be right. But after all, the watchword in art and science is truth in all things. And that should go for spooks, too. Isn't that right, Cousin Rodney?
Yes, as you say, truth in all things. And sometimes it's the truth that startles.
Yes, you've got a point there. Kindly note, young woman, bring a demeanor of becoming gravity to the investigation.
I'll do just that, I promise.
A
The car should be all right on the verge there.
Do you want to unload your painting things?
No, not for the moment. We've left it a bit late anyway. The light will be going soon. Just go and have a look and a listen.
It's a funny old bridge, isn't it? Still, it all seems nice and normal. Unless you can hear anything peculiar?
No. No, nothing beyond the sound of the river.
Perhaps my matter-of-fact outlook is having a quelling effect.
I don't know that your outlook is so matter-of-fact.
Do I sense a subtle shade of meaning in that remark?
Oh, you may do, but I didn't intend to be subtle.
No?
No. I mean simply that you pretend to a nice matter-of-fact common-sense outlook. You say that because of it you prize security above all else.
Oh, Frank, are you going to start all that up again?
Yes, I am. Don't you see that the only true security is that of loving and being loved?
Yes. That's all very well, but
anything else would be just emptiness. One day you'll come to realize it, and by then it might be too late. And I need you. And if only...
Well?
That sound. Don't you hear it?
What sound?
Oh, but... And look out!
Frank! What? Oh! You. And Stuart.
It's Frank Kent, isn't it? What happened? We saw him fall.
It's all so quick. He thought he heard something coming. He pulled me aside. And then he tripped and fell. I think he banged his head on the wall there, where it juts out. I don't know how badly hurt he is.
Let me have a look at him. Yes. His breathing's all right.
Where did you spring from, Stuart?
Hmm? Oh, I had to come to Tunbridge Wells on business, and I thought I'd call on my way back. Your father said you were down here and came to show me the way.
Just in time, too. How is he, Father?
It's quite a large contusion at the back here, but I doubt if there's any fracture. Still, it won't hurt to make an X-ray check.
I wonder what he thought he heard.
Yes, we were too far away to have startled him.
Don't know. He behaved as if something were right on top of us.
Strange. The road was clear enough.
Shall we have to get him to hospital?
No, I've got a portable X-ray unit at the house. Perhaps, George, you'll help me get him into the car.
Yes, of course.
I'll take his shoulders if you'll take his feet.
Right.
And open the door and guide me back into the car, will you?
Yeah.
That's it. Now, slowly does it, Stuart.
Yes.
Just get him propped in the corner here. That's fine.
I'd better drive his car home. Can you find the key? I think he put it in his right-hand coat pocket.
Yes, I should think this is it. He's coming round with it.
Looks as if he's trying to speak.
Mein Kopf. Mein Kopf.
What did he say?
He's passed out again.
Yes, that was odd.
It was. I didn't know Frank knew any German.
Well, German or no German, we've got to get him home. Now, if you'll drive, Stuart, I'll perch on the edge of the back seat and stop him rolling about. All right, thanks. Let us take your weight. Just lie back here. Now, gently does it, Stuart. That's fine. Anne, fetch me a rug from the hall. And ask Mrs. Wood to make him a cup of tea.
Yes.
Where are we?
We're back at the house, in the study.
That chap on the horse. Is he...
The chap on the horse?
Now, don't you worry about that. You were the only one that got hurt. Mm. And I don't think it's more than a nasty bump. Mm. I'm just going to check with the X-ray, though, to be sure.
Here's the rug.
Oh, thank you, dear. Now, keep this round you, Frank. And take Stuart into the garden room, will you? I can get along quicker on my own, if you don't mind.
All right, Father. Come on, Stuart.
See you, Frank.
Was that Stuart McAlpin?
Now, just
what are you doing here?
Relax. Doctor's orders. I'll tell you all about it when you're more compassmentous.
Well, where's he gone with Anne?
Into the garden room. Please, be quiet. Right now, you're my patient, not my cousin.
According to the lads of the village and Mrs. Wood, who passed it on to us, that's the local legend of the bridge, Stuart. Phantom, horseman and all.
And he pretends he saw or heard it. Did you?
Not a thing. But then I suppose I'm not psychic.
Psychic? Well, I tell you, Anne, it's just what I've always thought. The fellow's got a screw loose. He must have to call those daubs of his paintings. Give him a yarn like this one about the bridge, and he takes it in through the pores and starts seeing ghosts on every side. He's unstable.
Dear Stuart, but down-to-earth realist.
Well, yes, I tried to be. Now, you must admit, Anne, I haven't done too badly, and it's not been by keeping my head in the clouds.
No, of course not. It's by keeping your nose to the grindstone.
Oh, now you're pulling my leg.
After all, it's true. You're a nice, dependable person with your feet firmly on the ground.
Do you mean that...
I mean exactly what I say. Now, don't start putting all kinds of interpretations on my lightest words.
Like him. I won't, but I had hoped, now that we're getting to know one another better, that we could...
Stuart, dear, if you're going to propose, please don't. Not now, anyway.
Not now. Well, does that mean that I can hope? No, but you said I mustn't look for meanings. Anne. Anne, I do love you. You must know that. Do you think you could ever feel the same way about me?
Honestly, Stuart, I don't know. I wish I did.
Ah, you're here, then.
Yes, Father. How is Frank?
Well, there's no fracture, as far as I can see. I'm just going to develop the X-ray to make a more detailed examination. While I do that, would you keep an eye on him? I left him drinking tea.
Yes, of course I will. Come on, Stuart.
Well, look, if it's all the same to you, I ought to be on my way. You two have enough to cope with at the moment, and in any case, I have a dinner engagement.
Fair enough. I'll see you to your car, then. Frank will keep for a moment, won't he, Father?
Well, don't make it too long. Thanks for your help, Stuart. I'm sorry your visit contained so many alarms and excursions. Come down and see us again when we're back to normal, and be prepared to stay longer next time.
Thanks, I will. I'll phone you.
Yes, do that. Au revoir, then.
Auf Wiedersehen.
Oh, Lord, don't you start talking German.
That's all I know. Oh, you mean Kent speaking German when he came to? Well, that goes to show. I mean, a chap's mind is right off balance.
Yeah, it probably was at that moment. His head came down with an appalling crack.
And I don't doubt he'll make the most of it. I expect he'd play up the pale and interesting invalid for all he's worth.
Well, if there's nothing wrong with him, he won't get past Father. And anyway, you misjudge him. He's not like that at all. I've known him on and off since we were kids.
Yes, I suppose you have.
Don't sound so gloomy. Faint heart, you know. Stuart, do you mind if I don't come out to the car with you? Your Father thinks I should keep an eye on Frank. He's got a good reason.
Yes, of course. Righto, then. I'll ring you. Bye, Anne.
Bye, Stuart. Look after yourself.
Nein, es ist noch nicht in Ordnung.
Hello, Patience. I've been told to watch over you for a bit. Oh, do you think you ought to be writing? I thought you were supposed to rest.
Huh?
Do you think it wise? Is it terribly important?
Hello, Anne.
My, you were a long way off. Did you hear what I said?
I don't think I could have done. What did you say?
I said, ought you to be writing.
Writing?
Or whatever else you were doing on the back of that envelope. Doodling.
Well, did you see me doing this?
Yes. Why, what is it?
Look.
Good Lord. Music. I thought you didn't know anything about it.
I don't, but that's hardly the point. The thing is, I just don't remember writing it. And look at these lines. They've been carefully ruled with something.
Well, perhaps the lines were already on the envelope. Well, I've seen Father do that when he has an idea and there isn't a bit of manuscript paper handy.
No, not a chance. This envelope's been in my pocket since yesterday. It's a bit worrying. In fact, it's more than worrying.
Well, don't get in a stew. I'm sure it's just because you've had a shake-up. Why, you even addressed us in German when you came to for a moment.
What?
Yes. You said, Mein Kopf, with a most convincing accent.
Mein Kopf? Well, that means my head, doesn't it?
Yes. The right words, but an odd choice of language.
Yeah, and I don't like this at all. What the devil do you think I've done to
myself? Now, don't get all steamed up. Father says he's sure you're perfectly all right. And I know he'll be able to explain.
What shall I be able to explain?
Frank's a bit worried.
Frank's very worried. Why didn't you tell me about my speaking German?
Oh, my dear boy, when you've heard as many strange things as I have, spoken by people returning to consciousness, you come to realize that in the majority of cases, these things have been said for the first and last time.
But why is that?
Well, presumably they're deeply buried memories. It's hard to say just what triggers them off at such times. But if no more is going to be heard of them, it's hardly worthwhile upsetting the patient's peace of mind by probing after them. Well, that's why I didn't mention it.
No, that's fair enough. But what about this? It seems I wrote it.
Music? Well, didn't you say you knew nothing about music?
No more I do. On top of which, I don't remember a single solitary thing about writing that. Yet Anne says she found me doing so.
That's right. I did.
So what do you make of that?
At the moment, nothing. But one thing I am sure of, we are not going to discuss this any further tonight.
But I...
Now, Frank, it may sound very pompous and dictatorial, but I do know what is best for you at this stage. Certainly we'll talk about this some more if you wish, but after you've had a good sleep and not before.
All right.
So come along. Now, let's take it easily up to your room, and I'll give you a sedative. And don't be in a hurry to get up in the morning. We'll send breakfast up to you. Good morning, Frank. How do you feel today?
Oh, it's a bit sore, but otherwise all right. Can I get up?
Why, are you going anywhere?
Well, no.
Well, then stay where you are for a bit. Won't do you any harm. Should do you a lot of good.
What happened to the chap on horseback?
Chap on horseback?
Oh, yes. I heard the sound of the horse galloping, looked around, and found he was almost on top of us. I pulled Anne out of the way, and then I suppose I tripped and fell because that's all I remember. So what happened to him? But didn't Anne see?
Oh, I was there. I'd just come with Stuart in his car. We both saw you pull Anne to one side and trip. And I assure you there was nothing else to be seen.
Nothing?
No.
You realize what this means? I've seen the horseman. For the first time in my life, I've seen a ghost. In broad daylight, too. It's quite an achievement.
Well, it could also have been the result of an overstimulated imagination.
Why, I didn't take a bottle with me and get sloshed, you know.
Of course not. But a person like yourself, highly strung with a vivid imagination, who's been thinking a lot about this legend, could easily bring himself to the point where he confuses the imaginary with the real.
Oh, come off it, Cousin Rodney. This may be true of a lot of your patients, but I'm not that cracked.
Now, don't forget, nobody else saw it.
That's true. But this applies to many ghosts whose existence has been admitted. No. No, I tell you, this is the 10th time when the nice, rational explanations don't apply.
Well, you must excuse me if I reserve my judgment for a bit.
Yeah, reserve what you like. It doesn't alter anything.
Good morning. How's the patient?
Impatient might be a better word.
I think I saw the ghost of the horseman yesterday.
Well, I never saw anything.
Neither did Cousin Rodney. And he thinks I'm dotty.
Oh, well, we all know that.
Oh, thanks.
Oh, Frank, I said you could have imagined
it. No, this wasn't imagination.
Is this the music you wrote last night?
Hmm?
Oh, no. That was on the back of an envelope.
Don't tell me there's more on my sketch pad.
Look.
Good God.
May I see?
I must have written it in my sleep, then.
This is very interesting.
Interesting? I bang my head, injure my brain, and you sit there and say it's interesting.
Oh, really, Frank, banged your head, yes. Injured your brain, no. Most likely thing is that this shake-up has been instrumental in releasing some long-buried memory.
Well, how can you be so sure I haven't damaged the brain?
Because of the X-ray. And because what is written here is music. Real music, not just scribble.
But it's a simple fact. I know nothing about music, so where did this come from?
Well, let's try to find out. Now, have you never at any time had any kind of musical instruction?
No. Well, stop a minute, though. It just shows how things fade from the memory. When I was a kid, we did have some lessons in musical appreciation, I think it was. Not that I ever learned a damn thing from that.
No, possibly not.
But you must have had some kind of study put before you. Can you remember what form it took?
Oh, Lord, no. Oh, I remember the poor man tried to teach us the name of notes and why a sonata was different from a symphony and something called form in music.
Were you given examples to study?
Oh, if you like to call it study. Yes. He did give us, of course. I completely forgot until this moment. He used to write the examples on the blackboard and we'd have to copy them onto, what do you call it? That ruled paper.
Manuscript paper.
That's it, manuscript paper. Good God, do you think I've been recalling that after all these years? Writing down something I once copied out?
Well, surely that's more reasonable than supposing you've acquired a sudden, miraculous knowledge.
Yes, of course. But after all this time, I've completely forgotten it.
Your music teacher must have been more enterprising than many. This is no stock example from the classics. I must try and find out about it.
Now do you say I'm bonkers when I tell you I've seen a ghost? Or is that a subconscious memory, too?
I didn't suggest you were bonkers. But as for the ghost, to me there's not yet enough data to say.
Perhaps we could do some psychic research. Fun.
Oh, we could at that.
I should forget about it. It hasn't done you much good up to the moment.
Oh, well, we'll see when I get up. When can I get up, Cousin Rodney?
This afternoon, perhaps.
I tell you what, when you go downstairs, would you play these bits of music?
All right.
I expect I could hear with the door open. I'm curious to know what they sound like.
Me too. Frank might even recognize them if he heard them. I'll come with you. First a ghost, now this music. What do you think it means, Father?
I don't know. I'm puzzled. Superficially, they seem connected.
I see what you mean. The music occurred after the accident. But there was no accident to trigger off his seeing the horseman. He seems very convinced, though.
So is anyone who has an hallucination. I wonder if he suffered from delusions at any other time.
Hardly a thing you can ask. But why shouldn't it be a ghost?
I'm prepared to admit such things exist, but not till I'm convinced that there's no other explanation. Now, let's hear what Frank's manuscript sounds like.
Oh, bother. I just remembered I shut the door as we came down. I'll go and open it. Go ahead and play.
First progression in E flat minor, passing through G7. Not the easiest key for strings.
Father!
What's the matter?
It's Frank.
What?
Oh, he's all right. It's so odd. I opened the door, and there he was, writing. He hasn't taken a blind bit of notice of me. I think you'd better come up, quickly. There you are. See what I mean? I wonder if you'll speak again.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. That's not an ordinary game.
German again.
Frank. Frank.
Huh? What? Oh, no. It's happened again, hasn't it? It's happened again.
And it's also very strange, Stuart. I'd be dying to have an answer to someone about it, so I'm awfully glad you rang.
But haven't you talked it over with your father?
Oh, he doesn't want to talk about it. That is, he doesn't want to speculate about it. He just wants to get on and find out what's the matter.
But how's he going to do that?
He says he's going to try to treat Frank by hypnosis. I think they've already started. Do hope it'll work out.
Now, listen carefully, Frank. I'm going to try hypnosis. I don't need to worry you. It's a perfectly straightforward process. It's not a battle of wills between practitioner and patient. It's mostly a matter of the intelligent cooperation of the patient.
I see. You say relax, so I relax and so on.
Yes, that's right.
Oh, that's frightening. Trances, music, and now German. I can see how the music could have happened, but not German. We didn't take that at school.
Well, we're going to try and find out. Now, just settle back in your chair and get as comfortable as you can.
Right.
Now, look up at this metal disc. No, don't move your head. Only your eyes. That's it. The idea is to make you glad to close your eyes when the time comes.
Now, your eyelids feel heavy. Very heavy. So heavy, they are falling of their own accord. It's difficult to keep them open. If they closed, you would be sound asleep. They're closing now, and you are asleep. Very sound asleep. Very sound asleep. Excellent.
Now, Frank, listen carefully. You are asleep, yet you can hear and understand what I say. Do you understand? Please reply.
Was this stuff?
Please answer clearly.
Oh, mein Kopf. Es tut weh. Wo bin ich?
Where did you learn German?
I do not learn German. It is my native tongue.
You are German?
I am Austrian. And you are English. Please, who are you?
My name is Cranston, Rodney Cranston. I am a doctor.
A doctor? Oh, yes. My head, it hurts. I have been ill, perhaps. No, an accident, I think. Yes, an accident. Yet I cannot remember well.
Don't distress yourself. Your memory will clear. What is your name?
It's been Franz Kramer genannt. My name is Franz Kramer. You have heard of me?
No.
No, not yet. But these are still, as you would say, early days.
Are you a musician?
Yes. I think you might call me that. Oh. Ah, your beautiful piano. And so are you, I think, a musician, yes?
Yes.
Ah, yes. So already I feel better. Attended by a doctor who is a musician. Please, doctor, prescribe that I may play for a while your piano.
I don't know that I should.
Oh, please, my mind is so confused. I feel that to play would help me to clear it. It's always been so. When I've been depressed or worried or sad, to play has given me new life.
For just a very short while, then. Carefully now. That's right. Comfortable?
Yes. Oh, this is very well. Very well indeed. Yeah. Like this?
Yes, I do. You wrote it?
Of course. Or rather, it is not yet written. It is still all in my mind. When the prince hears it, he will be delighted.
The prince?
Yes, the prince regent.
Ah, yes.
He likes things that are new and not strangled by convention.
Well, that's enough for now, Kramer.
No.
You mustn't tire yourself.
Doctor...
As your doctor, you must allow me to know best. Come back to your chair. That's it. Now, remember, you need rest. Just rest. You are tired and must sleep. Good. Anne, is it important? I have Frank under treatment.
Oh, I'm sorry, Father. I wouldn't have knocked, but I heard you playing, so I thought...
Heard me playing? Oh, yes, of course. I wanted to see if listening to music would awaken any memories in him. Did you want me particularly?
No. It was only Mrs. Wood fussing about dinner.
Well, tell her whatever she wants to put on is all right with me. Now, you must excuse me, my dear.
Very well.
Franz Kramer. The one person who might know is Paul Bachner. Frank. Frank, wake up.
Oh, I must have dropped off. No. Now, you hypnotized me, didn't you? Any results?
Well, you see, we were interrupted. I can tell you this, you make a good subject, but so far, no remarkable results. Now, we shall have to look upon this as research. And possibly devote quite some time. Yes.
Hasn't Rodney gone out?
Oh, didn't he tell you he was going to London?
No.
Oh, he can be absent-minded sometimes. Yes, he went soon after breakfast. He's gone to see Paul Buchner.
Paul Buchner? I've seen that name somewhere.
You probably have. He's a music publisher, and he promotes quite a few concerts.
Ah, of course, Festival Hall.
That's right. Father's known him for years. He's always hoping that Paul is going to take up one of his works. So far, nothing doing. I do hope that one day Paul will give in and accept one.
I wish to God you'd give in and accept me.
Oh, Frank, please. Apart from anything else, I don't want you working yourself up while Father's not here. You know he insisted on complete quiet.
But, Caroline, I'm feeling much better now.
What did you call me?
What did I call you?
You said Caroline.
Caroline?
Yes. One of your numerous light of loves, no doubt.
I haven't got a light of love by the name of Caroline. In any case, it sounds more like a maiden aunt.
It's nice to know that one can so easily be confused with a maiden aunt.
Oh, come off it, Anne. Hey, do you think this has anything to do with my head trouble?
No, I don't. I think it was just a slip of the tongue. Little things like that shine a surprising amount of light on a surprising number of events.
Good morning, Paul.
Ah, my dear Rodney. It's a long time since you visited me. Am I to understand that you have a new work to show me?
Well, I have one in hand, Paul. And I hope when it's completed, you'll be able to accept it. However, that's not what I came to see you about.
No?
I'm hoping you can give me some information.
Of course, if I can.
Thank you. Well, first, I must tell you in confidence that this concerns one of my patients. Briefly, under certain conditions, he believes himself to be Franz Kramer, a musician. Now, did such a person ever exist?
Franz Kramer. Well, well. I've not heard that name since I left Vienna. Oh, yes, he existed. I have his file here.
Good. I feel I could make better progress if I knew something about him.
He's not English, this patient of yours.
What makes you say that?
It seems so unlikely that anyone outside the staff of the Vienna State Library would know of Kramer, although he died in England.
Indeed? Where?
It's so long since I read about him. It was, yes, it was near Tunbridge Wells.
Tunbridge? Are you sure? Well, I'm living near there myself now.
So? Well, here are the notes. Now, Franz Kramer was a pianist and composer who was just beginning to arouse interest in the year 1792, in which same year he died. He left very few manuscripts of his compositions, and not all of these are complete, but they give us some idea of his talent and what he might have become, though he must have startled some of the musical pundits of the day.
Oh, in what way?
Well, it seems that the idiom in which he wrote, while acceptable enough to us at the present day, must have seemed quite a shattering collection of dissonances to many of his contemporaries. Still, he's not the only one to have written music in advance, as it were, of his time.
That's very interesting.
He received his musical education in Leipzig and Vienna, and after a successful continental tour as a concert pianist, he came to England, where he attracted the attention of the Prince of Wales. I have a note here that he fell in love with a certain Caroline Tressida. The rest is as I have already told you.
You've no further details?
Well, these are only a quick summary which I made in the Vienna library. If you wish, I can send for the complete history.
Well, if it's not too much trouble, I should be very much obliged.
Of course it is no trouble. You've aroused my interest also. I will let you know as soon as I have it.
Thank you. Seems ironical that a creative artist should live and die and nothing remain but a few fragments of manuscript and a page of museum notes.
One could say relatively the same of all men, save that I do not believe that death is the end. I am sure that the spirit within us lives on.
I've always been doubtful of that. that I think I'm coming round to your opinion.
I'm glad to hear it. What has happened to cause you to change your mind?
Well,
Yes, Miss Bell?
You asked me to remind you in good time of your lunch appointment with Sir Charles, Mr. Backner.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Miss Bell.
Charles Wallace?
Yes, he is to conduct my next three concerts, and we have several points to discuss.
Well, then I won't keep you any longer.
But you're not keeping me. There is plenty of time before the appointment, and I'm only too delighted to see you.
Oh, thank you.
Why don't we arrange to dine together soon? We could then continue our talk about the hereafter at our leisure.
Yes, I'd like to. I've some rather pressing work in hand at the moment, but, I'll give you a ring.
Splendid. I look forward to it.
Before I go, I have something which I think might interest you, if I may use your piano.
But of course.
Recognize that?
But no. This is something quite new. Ah, you mean this is a theme from your latest work?
Well, it's... You like it, then? After all the times I've tried to interest you in my music without success.
But this has great promise. If the rest goes on to fulfill the promise, then perhaps you are right. And you are going to convince me.
I'd give a lot to do that.
All you have to do is to continue as you have begun.
To continue as I have begun. Yes, you're right, Paul. That is all I have to do.
Hello, Frank. Were you asleep when I looked in a moment ago?
I must have been. Anyway, I woke up to the sound of your bright chatter.
All gone well today, Frank?
Yes, nothing startling to report.
Father's going to play your magnum opus.
I what? Oh, yes. Well, thank heavens there's been no more of that. Yes, let's hear it, Cousin Rodney.
Very well.
Is that it?
That is a little bit of Clementi. Pleasant, but uninspiring. A typical schoolmaster's example.
But you said...
Yes, I know, dear, but the circumstances under which Frank wrote it seem to lend it more importance than it merits.
Funny. I expected something quite different.
Me too.
Yes, well, there it is. Now, if you don't mind, my dear, I should like to see Frank alone for a few minutes.
Why did you... Oh, never mind. See you then.
Now, sit here, Frank. Make yourself comfortable.
You're going to hypnotize me again?
Well, I think the last bout did you good. You don't appear to have had any odd spells since.
No, that's right. No music, no German. You seem to have accounted for the one. What about the other?
Well, we all know two or three words of another language, sometimes more than we realize. At all events, there's nothing to worry about. Mm. Now, relax. Yeah. That's right. Your eyelids feel heavy. They want to close. Let them close. And sleep. Sleep. Good. Kramer. Franz Kramer. If you can hear me, reply. Speak to me of your past. Speak to me of your past.
I have been invited to play at a soiree given by Lady Catchpole. Soon after my arrival, I was standing in her palatial salon talking to her brother, Sir Roger Cunningham, while she welcomed the guests as they were announced.
Sir William and Lady Tresidas, the Honorable Miss Caroline Tresidas, Mr. Jeremiah Cook.
William and Emmeline, I trust I see you well.
Indeed, yes, ma'am, and much your debtors for your kind invitation.
Dear Lady Catchpole, we've heard the most exciting report from Mr. Crane.
I'm not surprised. His Royal Highness gives the greatest praise to his talent.
So we have heard. And tell me, is he as handsome as they say?
Oh, vastly handsome. I vow there'll be many a maid's heart yearning after him before the night is over. Yes, and many an older heart that should know better. Ah, Caroline, how enchanting you look.
It is kind of you to say so, ma'am.
Dear child. Lud, I vow you grow more like a mamma every day.
Oh.
Indeed, you might well be taken for sisters.
Oh.
But there, the girl is undoubtedly somewhat mature for her age. Am I to congratulate you, Mr. Cook?
Above all things, madam.
Ah, and you, Sir William.
What, but I, madam?
You are to be congratulated on your prospective son-in-law. A handsome husband for the girl, who will, as I mistake not, treat her most lavishly.
Indeed, yes, madam.
There, you see, undoubtedly a man of sterling worth.
We are all to be congratulated, I believe, for we have a most delightful evening before us.
Oh, yes. We are so looking forward to hearing Mr. Kramer play.
But indeed, Caroline. See, that is he over there speaking with my brother.
That is Caroline Tressida, my boy.
She's very beautiful.
Yes, she is very beautiful. And she is also bespoke. The stalwart Ernest soul now speaking to her is her future husband, her allotted spouse.
He does not look worthy of her.
His worthiness is a small account compared to his worth.
His worth? What would a man of such uninteresting looks be worth?
That uninteresting young man, my friend, is heir to a good million or more, which will come to him in due time from his industrious merchant father.
A glorified grocer, in fact. And it is for this money that her parents are forcing her to marry him?
Ah, well, as to force, I wouldn't say that, Kramer. I wouldn't say that.
Surely, there cannot be any other reason for her marrying him. He must be dull, this merchant. She cannot love him. Still less could she marry him for his money.
Well...
No, not with her beauty, her nobility.
Tammy, boy, here's a fine reason of character at first glance. Why, you have not even spoken to her.
No, but there are some things one knows at once about people. I've seen her for the first time tonight, yet believe me, I know.
There speaks the artist, the idealist, would set every woman, provided she be beautiful, on her pedestal. Have a care, my boy. Cherish your dreams, but do not invite disillusionment. Now, away with dreams and back to terrifying reality. My sister approaches. Your servant, madam.
The moment has arrived. Roger, I trust you have not plied our guest with too much refreshment.
My dear sister, of the wines of your table, there cannot be too much. But let him answer for himself, madam.
Well, Mr. Kramer, are you now to delight us with your talents? I trust my brother has looked after you as he should.
Indeed, yes, madam. Yes, to both your questions. I am completely at your ladyship's service.
Delightful. Then let us lose no more time. Your arm, sir.
Cheers, Sir William. For Caroline and myself. Yeah. I perceive Lady Catchpole leading Mr. Kramer to the piano. He is going to play.
What? Oh, Danny, Emmeline, must we sit and yawn while... Oh, very well, very well.
Now is the moment which you have all awaited so eagerly. Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you Herr Kramer, of whom none less than His Royal Highness prophesies such great things. Herr Kramer will now play for us.
Well received. I felt that Caroline knew this was my message of love to her. I went on to play others of my compositions to an appreciative audience, with the exception of Sir William, who I noticed had managed to slip quietly from the room. I guess he may have found more congenial company. However, I concluded my recital. Thank you.
wonderfully he plays. But what is the matter?
Your father, Caroline. It is disgraceful of him.
Oh, why has he crept away? Poor Papa, he does hate musical soirees.
Shall I go and look for him, Lady Tressida?
Indeed, no, Jeremy. Do not put yourself to the trouble. Here comes Lady Catchpole.
Emmeline, you have not, I think, met Herr Kramer.
Well, I have not until now had that pleasure. We greatly admired your performance, Mr. Kramer.
Thank you.
Lady Tressida is most keenly interested in all music and musicians. Are you not, my love?
Yes, indeed.
Though I doubt the same may be said for her husband. Now, Emmeline, where is Tressida? Sneaked away, has he? Well, never mind. I doubt not he was lured away by my slick-graced brother, and that they are now happily seated at the card table. Miss Caroline Tressida, Herr Kramer.
We are your debtors, sir.
But no, Miss Tressida. Rather am I in your debt for being allowed to play before so perceptive an audience.
This is Mr. Jeremy Cook.
Your servant, sir.
Mr. Cook is affianced to Miss Tressida.
I felicitate you, sir.
Thank you. Allow me to congratulate you on your masterly performance.
Thank you. Lady Tressida, with your permission, I shall give myself the happiness of calling on you.
I shall be happy, sir.
The true patronesses of music are hard to find, and the humble musician must pay homage to them where he will. Is that not so, Miss Caroline?
Come with me, Herr Kramer. There are many more anxiously waiting to meet you.
Servant, sir.
A most pleasing young man.
Yes, indeed, Mama.
Did you not think so, Jeremy?
You're a person of considerable accomplishment and address.
Yes, I thought him disgraceful.
What, Mama?
Sir William, where have you been?
Playing cards, my dear, with Cunningham and Fellows.
I do not want to hear about them. How much did you lose?
My love, I won.
Well, that does not excuse your creeping away and leaving me unescorted when Lady Catchpole presented Mr. Kramer to us. Lud, I wish I may have sunk through the floor.
Yes, so do I.
What?
I wish I had sunk through the floor before giving you some cause for embarrassment. Still, my love, you exaggerate, I believe. After all, what's a piano player, more or less?
Oh, Papa, Mr. Kramer is a great master.
Indeed, miss. Oh, you hear that, Jeremy? You will have to look to your laurels, I think.
Oh, Papa.
Now, come, Emmeline. Let me escort you to the supper room. Come, Caroline. Come, Jeremy. Lud, I must tell you. Cunningham's face after he had led out his queen.
The next day, as I promised myself, I called at the Tressida residence. Lady Emmeline received me kindly. And Caroline, well, Caroline and I could do little beyond small talk and exchange of glances. But we were, how shall I say, aware of one another. That was the first of many visits I was privileged to make, in which I sought for opportunities to win her from the claims of Mr. Cook.
Mr. Kramer, Miss Caroline.
Oh, thank you, Peters. Good morning, Mr. Kramer. I'm sorry Mama is out.
With every respect to Lady Tressida, you must realize how I welcome the opportunity to speak with you alone.
I am flattered. The flowers look beautiful this morning, do they not?
Oh, how can I be aware of flowers in the presence of such beauty as yours?
Now, Mr. Kramer, such gallantries are better kept for the ballroom.
That was no mere gallantry. I speak but the simple truth.
Then I am doubly flattered. Come, sir, walk with me in the garden until my mother returns and give the flowers a share of your praise. They too like to be admired.
I had rather that we sat a while, perhaps here in the shade of the tree.
Indeed, Mr. Kramer, it was my intention to walk in the sunshine.
I have something I must say to you, something which demands your full attention.
And can I not give you that as we walk?
I think not.
Oh. Very well, then. Now, Mr. Kramer, what have you to say that is of such importance?
Surely you must know that you have come to mean everything to me. When I first saw you at the concert, I knew you were the one that I should love forever. And, my dear, I cannot think that you are indifferent to
me. Mr. Kramer, please, you must not.
Our propriety, conventions. Caroline, love knows no conventions. Yet, I too can bow to them. I will go to your father.
No, you cannot.
But yes, he is not a monster, your father.
But I am already engaged.
Oh, to Mr. Cook, to that, how do you say, that estimable young man.
Mr. Caroline, you cannot love him.
I have said we are engaged.
Yes, yes, a family arrangement. When I've explained to your father, he will understand.
Explain? Understand? What is there to explain?
Of course, we know that love is its own explanation. But naturally, your father will ask, as all fathers ask, can I provide the life for you to which you are accustomed? And I shall reply, what I can do, I shall do. I begin to be known as a composer. My engagements as a concert pianist are increasing. Believe me, if it lie within my power, my Caroline shall want for nothing. She shall be treated as a princess. But if not, well, we shall have our love. We shall be happy and we shall live. Oh, yes, we shall live.
We shall live. Mr. Kramer, I see my father in the drawing room.
Do not be afraid. I shall make him understand. He will see that this excellent, estimable, dull Mr. Cook has no claim on you.
Oh, please.
You are not for such as he. Can the sunshine belong to the cloud? Can the rose belong to the desert? No, no, Caroline, you are meant for life, gaiety, for music. You're mine, as I knew from the very first moment, and I shall not let you go.
Oh, this is intolerable.
Yes, it is intolerable that you should be imprisoned any longer thus. Come, I will speak to your father now.
Mr. Kramer, you must do nothing of the kind. If anyone is to speak to him, it must be me. Do you understand? I shall speak to him. Alone.
But, Caroline, I cannot...
If this affair is to be resolved peaceably, mine is the only way. Now, please do as I ask. And go.
You have courage. I bow to it. I will leave you now. But when I come again...
When you come again, things will be very different.
Poor Caroline. If only I had remained. I underestimated her father. I can only guess what must have passed between them when she confronted him.
Yes, that seems quite clear. And after that?
I do not know. I cannot recall. This illness you tell me of has left my mind a blank. My head still hurts when I try to think of it. And yet somewhere, lately, I seem to have seen Caroline...
I think the truth is that during your illness you have dreamed of her vividly. She has been much in your mind.
Oh, perhaps it was a dream. Yet she seems so real. So real. Doctor, where is she? I must find her.
You must not try to do so for some time yet. You are not yet fully recovered.
But I...
Listen. I will try to find her. In the meantime, why not occupy yourself with writing your concerto? Then when she comes to you, you will have it ready and she'll see for herself how she has inspired
you. Yes. Yes, you're right. I will do this. But are you certain you can find her?
Yes, I have a great many resources.
I must see her. She's all of life to me. I cannot go on with...
Kramer. Frank. You can't. You mustn't fail me now. Not when we're on the threshold. Frank. Frank.
Father?
Yes?
Paul's on the telephone and wants to speak to you.
Oh, good. Now, look after Frank, will you, Anne?
What on earth's the matter?
He nearly fainted, but he's all right. Take him out for some fresh air. A walk will do him good. Hello, Paul. What news?
I telephoned to Vienna and asked him to put a copy of Kramer's history on the plane. I have it here now.
Ah.
When can you come to town and dine with me?
Paul, my patient is going to need constant surveillance for a while. At the same time, I feel that history is important. Would you change the arrangement and come down here?
Very well. Shall we say next Thursday?
Yes, that'll be splendid. Well, I must hang up now, Paul. There's a slight emergency to cope with.
I understand. Till Thursday, then. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
So this is Brisley Down, top of.
Yes. I love this spot. The miles you can see from up here. Gives you such a wonderful sense of freedom. I think now I'd love to get on a horse and ride over those hills. Over the hills and far away. Pure escapism, mine, too.
A horse? Yes. We never did solve that little mystery, did we?
Mystery?
Of my ghostly horseman. I saw him, all right. Whoever else didn't. What I should like to know is who he was and why he rides that road.
Don't you think you ought to forget it?
I don't see how I can forget it. Just switch it off. Oh, I know you think it was all a delusion that I was going potty before I fell on my head. I don't know that you may be right.
Of course I didn't think any such thing. I suppose there are ghosts. A lot of people seem to have come to that conclusion.
And a lot of people are right.
You say you saw this one clearly. Can you describe him?
That was all over too quickly. I simply saw a man on horseback galloping right at us.
Yes, but you must have caught some impression of him. Was he old or young?
Well, I should have said a young man.
How was he dressed?
Well...
Were his clothes light or dark?
But come to think of it, dark, with a lot of white about his chest and throat. You know, I never tried to analyze my impression of him before, but now...
Yes?
Well, I'm sure as damn it he was wearing a frilly shirt and cravat and one of those tricorn hats. Now laugh.
I'm not really laughing. A ghost from another century. But of whom? Why was he galloping like that along the road? And what terrible thing happened that day long ago that he still has to ride over the same road today?
Oh, yes.
Was he riding desperately with news that meant life or death to somebody? From some crime he had committed? Or from someone who had pursued and killed him?
No. No, it was none of those things. Sorry, I could have sworn I had something then, but it's gone.
You know, I wonder... If we could solve the riddle of who he was, wouldn't it clear up the whole strange thing that's been worrying you?
It's like something you see out of the corner of your eye. You know it's there, but you can't make out what it is.
Doesn't the way he was dressed link up in some way? Dark clothes, white frilled shirt. That could have been the time of the Regency. I know, a highwayman. Perhaps he'd held up a coach and was running away. But then, why should his ghost be riding still? It surely wouldn't be unless something dreadful had happened to him. Maybe he'd been shot and was dying as he rode.
It was not that. You know it was not that.
What?
Caroline, don't you remember? It was just such a day as this. And in but a little while, we should have been together. Yet what does that matter now that I've found you again?
I don't think I know...
Caroline, my Caroline, let me kiss you, my love.
Frank! Look at me. I'm Anne. Anne! Do you understand? And you are Frank Kent, and no one else.
What? Oh. Oh, Lord. I'm sorry,
Are you all right?
I think so. I felt a bit funny for a moment. Whew. What were we talking about? Oh yes, that horseman.
I shouldn't bother any more about it for a bit.
Funny, I did think there was something else I could have remembered about him, but it's gone.
Well, it's no use talking round it. I dare say it will resolve itself in its own good time. Don't you often find it's like that? You do your damnedest to remember something or other, and it's not until you've given it up and got on with something else that it comes back to
you. Yes, I know what you mean.
So the best thing to do for the moment is to change the subject completely.
Oh, very well. What shall it be? Shoes or ships or sealing wax?
Or cabbages and kings.
I hope the dinner was to your liking, Bull.
Thank you, Rodney. I must congratulate you on your Mrs. Wood.
Yes, she's a wonder. Help yourself to the brandy. And finish telling me Kramer's history. It's fascinating.
There's not much more to tell. It's strange to think he first met Caroline Tressida only 2 or 3 miles from here.
Did anything come of that?
No, but that wasn't from want of trying on his part. The trouble was, he couldn't or wouldn't understand that Caroline Tressida was perfectly happy with her millionaire fiancé.
He certainly seems to have been a very egotistical young man. But I take it she was attracted to Kramer at first.
Yes, by his good looks and accomplishment, but that was as far as it went. When he tried to force the issue, she told her father she thought the young man was unbalanced. They agreed that to return quietly to their townhouse might be the best way to shake off Kramer's embarrassing attentions without scandal.
Was this successful?
They couldn't have made a worse move. Anyway, the next day, Sir William was bustling about the hall of his residence, organizing his departure.
Evening, Caroline! How much longer am I to be kept waiting? The chaise has been at the door this full half hour. I wish we will not have arrived at midnight. Peters!
Sir,
my footman, my hat! Emmeline! What have you been doing?
Oh, really, William, I cannot understand why you must go hurrying back to town on the whim of a moment. It is most inconvenient.
Inconvenient fiddlesticks! You have but to forgo a ball here or out there. It is the most pressing business that recalls me to town.
Indeed. I trust it merits all this upset. Come, Caroline, let us settle ourselves in the shade.
Harley, is the luggage all bestowed? Peters, a word in your ear.
Yes,
should there be a visitor, you know who I mean.
That would be Mr. Kramer, Sir William.
Ah, yes, exactly. Well, should he come, you will know what to say. We have taken our leave of Tunbridge Wells and shall not return. Furthermore, you do not know whither we are bound. Now, is that clear?
Perfectly, Sir William.
Good.
Thank you, Harley. The luggage is stowed, Sir William.
Thank you.
And safe journey, Sir William.
Ah, thank you, Peters.
Of course, it was not long after they had left that Kramer made his routine morning call. The news of their departure had for him only one meaning. Caroline had been abducted. He assumed London to be their destination and set off in pursuit.
Yes, already it is 11 o'clock.
William, you're all in a fidget. What is the matter?
Oh, nothing, my dear. Oh, nothing.
Then I must say nothing appears to exercise you very considerably.
Emmeline! Oh, it is not.
Oh, really, William, you're behaving most oddly.
Papa, there is a horseman a long way back on the road.
A horseman? Oh, damn you, it cannot be. No, it's too far, to be sure.
Sir William, I insist on your telling me what you are in such a pother about. Who is this horseman? Is it a highwayman?
Oh, highwayman, nonsense.
Well, then why?
Harley, is there a side road we can take for a while?
Yes, sir, right round the next bend. Then join the London road again some miles off.
Well, take that road. The bend in this should cover our doing so.
Kramer, for it was he following, was at first deceived and went a mile or so up the main road before he realized what must have happened. Then he retraced his steps and found the side road. Soon, Sir William, to his dismay, again saw the horsemen in pursuit and gaining on them.
Oh, Tabby, here he comes again. Yes, tis he.
William, it is most unpleasant to be pursued and not know who is pursuing. Who is it? A debt collector?
What? Jules, madam, I would have you know that no one has done me for... Never mind. You must know it is that young fellow, that pianist, that you would encourage.
Mr. Kramer? But why should he follow us?
Because, and I mistake not, he's got some romantical notion that our daughter is to be married against her will. This will be some madcap scheme that he's conceived to rescue her, as he thinks, from her plight. Fellow seems near insane.
Is this true, Caroline?
Yes, Mama.
Why did you not tell me?
We did not wish to worry you, Mama.
Really, William, let us stop the chaise and put an end to this nonsense once and for all. A pretty scandal it will make if we are to be followed to town by a wild-eyed lover on horseback.
My dear, I am convinced we deal with a madman. But I know what I shall do.
A pistol! Oh, no, William.
Oh, Papa!
Have done, both of you. My aim must be sure. Very good. I intend only to fire over his head.
No, Papa, no!
Let go my arm!
Oh,
dear God. What have you made me do?
And so, my dear Rodney, ends the story of Franz Kramer, musician.
The shot was fatal, then?
He died instantly.
And Sir William?
He was censured, of course, but finally exonerated from blame. Caroline, I understand, married her rich merchant.
Very interesting. And very tragic. Thank you, Paul, for the trouble you've gone to find all this out.
Not at all. I hope it may be of help with your case. Now tell me, how is your music progressing?
Well, I think it's going tolerably well. This is the manuscript, as far as it goes.
So, you have accomplished much. May I look through it?
Yes, by all means. Come in.
Beg pardon, sir. Could I speak to you a moment?
Yes, certainly, Mrs. Wood. I'll come out. Excuse me, Paul. Well, what's the trouble?
It's Mr. Kent, sir. He's come down from his room and gone out, although he wouldn't come down to dinner. And he looks so strange. I thought I'd better tell you. I do hope you don't think I'm interfering.
Oh, of course not. Very good of you to keep an eye on him. You'd better let me know again if you think he's out too long. This night air is inclined to be very chilly.
Very well, sir.
Thank you, Mrs. Wood. But I don't think you need be too worried.
Yes, this is indeed most interesting. I am most favorably impressed, Rodney. This is quite different from anything you have attempted before.
You think it stands a chance, then?
I think it has every likelihood of being a success.
Frank, I thought you were still out. And this is Mr. Buchner.
Herr Buchner. Excuse me, Doctor. I have, again, an idea. I must write it while it is fresh in my mind.
I think I have mentioned Frank to you, Paul.
Ah, yes. Where's the music? Ah. You have it, sir. Why, Doctor, do you show my music to a stranger?
Your music?
Mr. Buchner is a publisher.
But this is very officious of you. We will talk of publication when I've finished the work and not before. In any case, I have an alteration to make. No longer do I favor the basic chord of B major for the con moto transition, but by modulating directly to that key after the G flat moderato, and then to E for the transition, I can take the reprise of the first theme in A major, which leads without abruptness to the original key for the finale. The manuscript, please. Rodney, I must speak to you. Let us go outside.
My patient, you can see.
He will come to no harm here. Come. This puts a very different complexion on things. Now, sane or insane, that man is an accomplished musician.
He may seem
that was so. No lunatic babbling just now, but an intelligent man who knows what he means to do and how to set about it. And he, not you, is the writer of that concerto.
Well, you see...
Isn't he?
Yes.
What made you do it? And to deceive me, your friend.
What else could I do? In this state, he fully believes he is Franz Kramer. In his own self, he's Frank Kent, without a glimmering of musical knowledge. Who would believe that he had written it, or that his secondary self had done so? And yet that music had to be given to the world.
Yes, as long as it bore your name. You saw a chance to steal, and you took it.
But
as to his secondary self, did it never occur to you that Kent might be possessed?
Possessed?
Yes. If Kent is as ignorant of music as you say, is it not a possibility he had been taken over by the spirit of Franz Kramer?
It had crossed my mind, but...
But as long as the work was incomplete, you would allow your patient to run into the gravest danger to mind and body when your first duty to him was to cure him. Can you not bring him to himself?
I don't know. It's been getting more difficult each time. Besides, he's never changed spontaneously before, as he has done tonight. It's always been under hypnosis.
Well, you had better try.
Let's go back to him. Ah, Kramer, if you've finished writing, I want to talk to you.
And I want to talk to you.
Good. Come and sit down.
I do not wish to sit down. I want to know what you have done about finding Caroline.
Well,
every day I ask. And every day there is some soothing answer. Do not worry. These things take time. Go on with your music. I will find Caroline.
Well, it does take time.
You say you are a doctor. Very well. Is this a madhouse? Am I mad? Why do you not allow me to know why I am here?
When one has been as ill as you have...
Ill? When have I been ill? I don't remember. No, I don't remember. I can't. What have you done to me?
Please, please, be calm.
Keep away from me. I don't trust you. Your answers are too ready, too soothing, yet they tell me nothing.
Because there is nothing to tell you. Certainly not the horrors you imagine. And you are imagining.
Am I? For the first time tonight, while your eye has not been on me, I have been out and seen how lonely a place this is. How am I to know I am not kept here for some good reason? Shut away in a madhouse and drugged. Oh, yes, I have heard of such things. When a man of title wants to get rid of someone who is inconvenient to him.
This is nonsense.
Is it? Is it not a plan conceived by just such a man? To get rid of me and force his daughter to marry for money? Can you tell me this is not the doing of Sir William Tressida?
What?
Ah, yes. Yes, you know that name, don't you? Don't you?
Well, I know the name, but he has nothing to do with your being here.
So you say. Then why have I not seen her, my Caroline?
She would never stay away if she knew I was here. Why does she not come?
What is going on?
Do you need any help?
Anne. I'm sorry. I couldn't think who was shouting.
Caroline, you have come back.
No, you're not Caroline. You're so like, but you're not Caroline. You, doctor, or whatever you are. Where is she?
But this is Caroline. Tell him you are Caroline.
Lies. I want the truth. Do you understand me? The truth.
But this is the truth. This is Caroline. Now you needn't worry anymore. She has come to you. Now you can finish the music.
Rodney, no. That's the music. That's all I hear from you is the music. Caroline is stolen from me, and you... Oh, God. Now I see. You would steal my music. Well, you will not.
My God.
Will he be all right?
I don't know. What have I been thinking of to let it get to this?
Never mind that now. Try to undo some of the harm you have caused.
Yes, of course. Steward, help me get him onto the sofa.
Very well. Should we not get him to the hospital? He might be better in fresh surroundings.
Yes, you're right, Paul. And he should be under observation. We must get him to the hospital at Tunbridge.
Yeah, we can take him in my car.
Yes, thank you, Stuart. The sooner the better. He's coming round a bit. Frank, can you hear me? We're going to get you to hospital. Now, do you think you can make it to the car? He's dazed. We'll have to help him, Stuart. One on either side. That's right. That's it. Open the doors for us, Anne.
Yes.
Come along, Frank. Carefully now. Easy does it, Frank. Take your time.
What on earth has been happening, Paul?
Either that young man is very ill or else... No. But perhaps what I think would not be acceptable. Only I have seen so many strange things.
What do you mean? Oh, for goodness sake, don't be so cryptic. I've known quite well there's been something odd going on.
Before I express an opinion, may I ask some questions?
Such as?
When did Mr. Kent first begin to act so strangely?
After he injured his head in a fall at Weston Bridge.
Of course. Yes, it would be after that. Anne, which way are they taking him to the hospital?
The quickest way. Over Weston Bridge.
We must stop him. I did not tell your father, but the place where Sir William's bullet brought Kramer down was Weston Bridge.
Sir William? Kramer?
Come along. I will explain as we go. We must hurry or there may be another tragedy.
How is he now?
He still seems dazed, but he's no worse.
Well, as long as he keeps quiet till we get there.
Yes, I think he will.
That's that narrow bridge before Weston, isn't it? I'll have to wait while that car comes over. He's been taking it much too fast.
Frank, stay where you are.
I must find her. You cannot keep me from her.
No. Stuart, hold him. He's out.
God, he's run over him.
Have you got a torch?
Here. The other chap's getting out. Are you all right?
Well, why did he jump out? He didn't give me a chance.
No, of course not. It wasn't your fault.
He didn't give me a chance.
Maybe this car can go for an ambulance. Oh, it's Anne.
What's happened? Where's Frank? Oh, God.
Don't look, dear. He's dead.
Oh, Stuart.
Anne.
God, forgive me. I have done this.
The second tragedy at this bridge. Or who knows? It may be the same tragedy at different points in time.
The Bridge by John Leslie. The part of Rodney Cranston was played by Alan Wheatley. Anne by Monica Gray. Frank Kent by Andrew Sachs. Mrs. Wood, Hilda Fenimore. Paul Bachner, Leonard Fenton. Caroline Cressida, Joe Manning Wilson. Lady Catchpole, Griselda Harvey. Sir William Cressida, James Thomason, Lady Cressida, Sonia Fraser, Jeremiah Cook, Brian Hewlett, Roger Cunningham, John Gabriel, Stuart McAlpin, Alan Barry, and Peters by Peter Tudnam. The music was composed by John Leslie, and the pianist was Anna Berenska. The play was produced by Norman Wright.